Hey everybody, it's Brock Polk, and I want to thank you for listening to this message from Heritage Church of Christ. We would be thrilled to share more content like this with you and make it easy for you to share it with others. You can find more messages like this on our podcast, or you can download our smartphone app by searching for Heritage Church of Christ in your app store. But most importantly, I hope this message encourages you to take a next step toward a thriving relationship with Jesus. Enjoy.
He was given approval for having pleased God before he was taken up. It's impossible to please God without faith, because the one who draws near to God must believe that he exists and rewards people who try to find him.
By faith, Noah responded with godly fear when he was warned about events he hadn't seen yet. He built an ark to deliver his household. With his faith, he criticized the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes from faith.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
By faith, even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and past the age for having children, because she believed that the one who promised was faithful. So descendants were born from one man. They were as many as the numbers of the stars in the sky, and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. All these people died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. People who say this kind of thing make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have an opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they are longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them.
By faith, Abraham offered Isaac when he was tested. The one who received the promises was offering his only son. He had been told concerning him, "Your legitimate descendants will come from Isaac." He figured that God could even raise him from the dead. So in a way, he did receive him back from the dead.
By faith, Isaac also blessed Jacob and Esau concerning their future.
By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons as he was dying and bowed over in worship over the head of his staff.
By faith, Joseph recalled the exodus of the Israelites at the end of his life and gave instructions about burying his bones.
By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months when he was born, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they weren't afraid of the king's orders.
By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he was grown up. He chose to be mistreated with God's people instead of having the temporary pleasures of sin. He thought that the abuses he suffered for Christ were more valuable than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking forward to the reward.
By faith, he left Egypt without being afraid of the king's anger. He kept on going as if he could see what is invisible.
By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, in order that the destroyer could not touch their firstborn children. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as if they were on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried it, they were drowned.
By faith, Jericho's walls fell after the people marched around them for 7 days.
And by faith, Rahab wasn't killed with the disobedient because she welcomed the spies in peace. What more can I say? I would run out of time if I told you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, brought about justice, realized promises, shut the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped from the edge of the sword, found strength in weakness, were mighty in war, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they could gain a better resurrection. But others experienced public shame by being taunted and whipped. They were even put in chains and in prison. They were mistreated. The world didn't deserve them. They wandered around in the deserts, the mountains, the caves, and the holes in the ground. All these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. God provided something better for us so they wouldn't be made perfect without us.
Well, good morning. Wow, how fun is that for us to have the chance to worship like that together on a special day at Heritage. How many of you in the room are under sixth grade? Anybody, any hands that can go up that you're younger than sixth grade? Thank you so much for being in the room with us today. I love having you with us for Intergenerational Sunday. Usually, our preschool and elementary school kids would be down the hall having a Bible study and worship experience that's tailored just for them. But when they are down the hall, all of us old people miss out on the chance to worship with some of the youngest members of our church family. Am I right? I mean, come on, we're missing something. And all of the younger members down there in the preschool and children's area, they miss out on the chance to see the size of our church family and all the generations that are represented in our church family. And so this is really cool for young people and old people to be able to worship together, for little people and big people to be able to worship together. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And if you're one of our guests today, if this is your first time at Heritage, I'm thrilled you chose today to be here. We do this about twice a year, so it's a little bit of an unusual experience for us, but it's a really good insight into one of our passions, which is trying to share our faith with the next generation and instill that faith into our children. I'm going to share a message this morning from God's Word, and if you're an elementary school student, if you're in kindergarten through fifth grade, I want to know, did you pick up one of the activity packets in the back of the room? Because now is the time. Did you get one? Now's the time to pull out the worship notes paper so that you can make some important notes that are going to happen during the message today. I want to make sure that you get to remember the most important things that we're going to talk about. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but when I was in seventh grade, my family moved to a brand new town in a different state, and I had to go to a school that I didn't know anything about. And so I was nervous about it. I was scared about going to school that first day. But one of the things that I noticed right off, when I got in the front door of the school, I looked up high on the wall, right above the hallway, and they had this enormous framed picture of someone that I knew a lot about. It was an autographed picture of Michael Jordan. And right next to that picture was a basketball jersey from the school I was inside right that day, a basketball jersey that said Jordan across the back, and it was autographed too. Now, some of you younger people might not recognize the name Michael Jordan, but when I was your age, Michael Jordan was super famous. I mean, he was like the best athlete that any of us had ever seen. It would have been like somebody as famous as Taylor Swift having their picture on the wall in your classroom, in your school, right? Somebody super famous. When I was that age, Michael Jordan was everywhere. I mean, there were movies that he was in, People are still wearing his shoes nowadays, and that's been 40-something years ago, you know? Michael Jordan was super famous, and one of the things he was famous for, they had these commercials where he was drinking Gatorade and playing basketball, and they would have this song. They said, if you want to be like Mike, here's what you got to do. You want to be like Mike. And so I thought it was super cool when I discovered that I was now going to the same school that Michael Jordan had gone to when he was my age. And I was thinking, Michael Jordan sat in these desks, and Michael Jordan ate this cafeteria food, and Michael Jordan had these teachers, and I just thought that was awesome, and my school thought it was awesome too. In fact, my principal loved to tell us all about it. We had a big assembly of all the students in the gym, and the principal got up and started telling us about what the school year was gonna be like, but she told us a lot about what Michael Jordan was like as a student. She told us about how Michael knew the importance of practicing hard to try to get good at whatever it was that you're trying to learn. She told us about how Michael Jordan was such a disciplined student, and he had good attendance. He was always where he was supposed to be. She told us about how Michael always tried his best. And the reason she was telling us this stuff is because she knew that most of us already wanted to be like Mike, and she was telling us how to be like Mike as a student at that school. Now, I bet you in the schools that you have attended, I bet you have also had some teachers and some principals who have talked to you about what great students at that school are like. Maybe they talked about how the great students at your school are going to be responsible, or they're going to be respectful, or they're going to be on time, or they're going to get their work done. Maybe they talked to you about some characteristics like that. But the reason that teachers like to talk about what a great student looks like, it's because they're trying to help all the students be the best students that they can be. And today we're looking at a passage of Scripture in the New Testament book of Hebrews. If you've got your sermon notes paper, here's a place to write something down, that we're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer of Hebrews is wanting to help every Christian be the best Christian that they can be. In fact, the person who wrote this book, the person that wrote Hebrews, knew that sometimes being a Christian can be difficult. Sometimes following Jesus can be hard. Sometimes following Jesus can be so difficult that you might think about changing your mind. You might think about turning around and going back. You might think about giving up. You might think about quitting. In fact, I want you to think about the last time that you got so tired of doing something that you thought you were going to quit. Maybe it was sometime when you were exercising really hard, or maybe you were running and your body started aching, your leg muscles were getting sore, and your lungs were breathing really hard, and you thought, I'm not sure I can go any further, and you decided it was time to quit. Or maybe there was a time when you decided to try to put together a big puzzle, and it was more pieces in the puzzle than you'd ever put together before, and you tried to make all the matches, and you found the edges, and you worked at it for a long time, but it simply got too hard, and you decided that you were going to quit. We've all had times like that. We've all had times where we got tired or discouraged or frustrated, too frustrated to be able to keep going. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to following God, the book of Hebrews is saying, don't give up. Don't quit the race. Don't stop running. And the reason that Hebrews says this is because Hebrews says, God's plan for you is worth it. All right, I want to show you a couple of verses, just a couple. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, you need to persevere, which is a really big word that means keep going. You need to not give up. You need to continue moving forward. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. This is what Hebrews is trying to get us to do, to keep going so that we can receive God's promises to us, which sounds really exciting, especially if you know what God's promises are. We talk about this a lot in here, but if I had to sum up all of God's many beautiful promises in about two statements, here's what I'd say. God has promised that the people who trust Him will get the chance to live with Him forever. That the people that love God get to live with God for eternity, for eternal life. That's one of God's incredible promises. And also, God has promised that one of these days, He's going to repair all of the things in this world that are broken. He's going to fix all the things about this world that seem kind of messed up. You know, like the way that people suffer, the way that people struggle, the way that things seem unfair sometimes. God says He's going to fix all of those broken things in the world. And if you want to experience the fulfillment of God's promises, Hebrews says you got to keep going. Don't give up. And then Hebrews makes a statement that tries to tell us about what kind of people we're going to be. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, listen to this. It says, "We do not belong to those who shrink back. We don't belong to those who are destroyed. We belong to those who have faith and who are saved." This reminds me of what it was like when my principal was trying to tell me all about Michael Jordan being a student at my school. Because the principal wasn't just trying to tell me about a former student. The principal was trying to say, this is the kind of students we are at this school. We're the kind of students who are disciplined. We're the kind of students who practice. We're the kind of students who show up on time and have good attendance. That's what the principal was saying back then. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, let me tell you about who we are in this family. Because we're not the kind of people who give up. We're not the kind of people who quit on God. We're not the kind of people who say, nah, I'm not going any further. We're the kind of people who say, I'm going to keep going with God. I'm going to keep putting my trust in God. I'm not going to back down. In fact, right after this, the writer of Hebrews starts giving us this long list of people who have gone before us who did it well. And as you heard all of my friends just a few minutes ago reading that long passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, it started down here on this end with little Ava, and down here we had Miss Debbie, and they were all the people in between reading those stories from Hebrews chapter 11 about people like Noah and Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rahab and Barak and Jephthah and Samson and all of those other people that were mentioned in that passage. And all of those stories are about people who didn't give up. And so the question that I want us to ask ourselves, the question I want to ask you, Heritage family, is what kind of people are we going to be? Are we going to be the kind of people who shrink back? Are we going to be the kind of people who walk away? Are we going to be the kind of people who give up on God? I don't think so. In fact, I think the one thing, if you're filling out your sermon notes here, kiddos, the one thing you could write in this passage, this area here that says, what's the sermon about? Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Because you belong to a people who trusts God all the way. You know, if you were to go to a professional sporting event around here, like if you were to go to a Mavericks game to watch basketball, or if you were to go to a Cowboys game to watch football, you could go into their stadium, their arena, and you could look around high up on the wall or on the ceiling, and you would see all of the names and jersey numbers of people who were former players or former coaches. And their jersey number was retired because it was an honor. They said, this is the kind of Maverick that we hope all of the Mavericks will be like. This is the kind of Cowboy we hope all of the Cowboys will be like. And you can look around and see the names of those famous people. And that's what Hebrews 11 is. It's the Hebrews Ring of Honor. It's the list of all of these people who trusted God with their entire lives. But I want to close by suggesting, I think we're working on a heritage ring of honor together. I think we're working on a list of stories of people who have continued to trust God with their whole life, and they finished the race well. And I want to put your name in that ring of honor too. I want you to be the kind of person who trusts God with their entire life. In fact, God gave us one another so that we could encourage one another to keep running the race. And as we wrap up our service to get today, I'm going to invite Mr. Marty Baker. Marty is our minister to middle school and high school students. Come on out, Marty. And Marty's going to talk about something we're going to do together today to continue being an encouragement to one another so that you can help me and I can help you and we can help each other to keep running the race together. Welcome, Mr. Marty.
Thank you, Brock. All right, so on Energen Sunday, we like to do something a little bit different so that we're not just kind of sitting around and staring awkwardly at me like you are doing right now, all of you. So we're going to have you guys get up and do something a little bit more interactive. So as you walked in, you may have noticed there's a few tables with all kinds of colorful cards in the back and some buckets. Now, I need you to listen to this one thing because first service didn't all hear me. And so here's how this is going to work. We have all these graduates that we are celebrating, 10 graduates, and we're excited to bless them. I think it's weird. It's on that screen, but not on these screens. It may come up here in a second. So their pictures are out there on the table, and we want to just write them an encouraging note, okay? So I don't know who's sitting next to you, but we want to be mindful of all generations sitting around us, right? It's Energen Sunday. And so if you've got like a little kid and you're thinking they just scribble, like it's not going to be anything encouraging, no. We want those like little scribbles in there. Like even if it's just like a, you know, we love you and you can barely read it. Like that's awesome. Like we want those in there. We want you to think about anybody that may be sitting around you that may not be able to get up and go and stand for a while. Maybe you ask them, hey, would you like for me to go grab you some cards and bring them back so that you can write these here? And so what we're going to do is I just want you to write a card that, so we've got 10 graduates, so that's 10 cards. There are 10 sacks on the table, and this is where people got confused, right? The cards for the graduates go in each of their individual sacks on the table in the lobby. And we've got buckets on the table, but that's for something different. You see, we're not just about our seniors, we're also about their families. And some of you have graduated seniors in the past, and you know that that's not easy. That's a tough transition. And we wanted to also write a note of encouragement to those parents, those caregivers, those guardians. And so if you'll take a second just to write a word of encouragement, maybe some advice. You've been there before. You've had kids move out. You've had them move back in. Like you've been there, right? And so write a blessing or something like that and just drop one card for the families in that bucket. And we'll take and scan all of those cards and send all of those cards to every single graduate family so that those parents can be blessed as well and not just our seniors. And so I'm going to not talk as much anymore because we want to give you as much time as possible. But we also want to make sure and invite you back next week for our worship and song as well. And so to close us out, we want to remind you that faith, like what we do here, loving God and loving others, is not just some, you've heard me say it before, it's not some dead heirloom that we pass along or we pass down to our kids. It's something alive. It's something vibrant. It's something that we nurture within them. We nurture it within each other. And that's what we actively do. So as this next song plays, I'm going to ask everybody to go ahead and get up and start heading to those tables or bring in cards back for other people and let's write those notes. You are dismissed.